Meg, how does Pilates fit into this? And I'm like, what is Pilates to you? Because I know for me and our listeners, we're like, what the fuck? Lay it on us.
I see it in Parkinson's a lot too. There's all this research saying use gamification. So these Parkinson's, these people with Parkinson's are treated like Parkinson's clients. And they're not treated like humans. They're still humans with the same movement fundamentals that you and I need. They need what I call hip cuff activation. They need shoulder girdle stability. But instead, they're just playing games with them to try to, you know, feed the dopamine. I'm all for that. But I still think we need to treat neuro clients like they're humans that also have a neuro condition.
This is Maestro on the Mic,
a podcast designed to help you change your mindset and your life.
It is time for something new.
Join host Dr. Shante Cofield, also known as the Movement Maestro, on a journey to see the bigger picture.
Open your eyes.
Find your passion.
And discover how movement unites us all.
Let's get it popping.
This is Maestro on the Mic. I'm the Maestro, and you're about to get maestrified.
3, 2, 1.
Hey, you guys, Maestro here, and welcome back to another episode of Maestro on the Mic. Today I have with me, she's an all-around badass. I met her on the interwebs, and then she reached out and brought me out to Jersey to host my course. Meg is a Pilates studio owner, but she has her own business. She's actually sold businesses in the past. She, from a little background perspective here, she has a master's in applied physiology from Columbia. I'm really surprised she doesn't have a business degree because this chick she dominates. And currently, and how I met her is she owns the Neuro Studio, and they focus on neurological conditions or people with neurological conditions, and they offer a Pilates approach to it. And I'm going to have her really dive into this because it's just the whole thing, what she's doing. She's an international speaker, international educator. Everything that she's doing is, in my humble opinion, straight right in line with that Roger Bannister effect. And I'm pretty sure once you hear her story, you're going to be like, damn, one, I am hella inspired, and two, I want to go do the thing. So, without further ado, welcome to the show, Megan Coppell Duffy. Thanks for coming on, homie.
Hello. Well, who is she talking about? That can't be me.
All the things. I was trying to decide like what I wanted to say and other stuff that I was like, I'm going to let her talk about it because your background is exciting. Like,
I kind of took a different path, if you will. And I wasn't sure if we would get there eventually, but I'm getting there somehow.
So can you do me a solid and give the people your background, give the people your story, let them know who you are.
Okay, let's see. Well, I was born on May 2nd. So I was getting my master's, and I had done my work study job at University of Scranton. I just taught Pilates. And I really had no freaking clue what I was doing, but people seemed to like it. So there we go. And from there, I ended up getting certified. Yeah, I kind of just, I'm very honest. So there you go.
It's so good.
Then from there, I ended up getting my master's. And during that time, I was working at Goldman Sachs in their wellness center, teaching Pilates and doing all different stuff there. And then when I finished my master's, instead of really using my degree, I opened a Pilates studio. So that's kind of how I started in the Pilates world. But fast forward, because all that stuff's boring, I got really involved in the neuro stuff when a PT reached out to me and asked me if I worked with MS. And I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, send her in. All good. And I then hung up the phone and Googled, what is MS?
I love it. This is my favorite story, man.
Keep in mind, I was 24 years old, and we all know when we graduate from college, we think we know everything. So I figured, let me look into it and see what I can do. And if I had any questions, I would obviously consult the PT. What I was amazed by is there was very little for this particular MS client. And she would tell me about other people she would meet in her doctor's office. And I just, the information she was getting just didn't seem correct. She was sometimes told not to exercise or save her energy. And it just seemed not in line with what I did. Fast forward again, I teamed up with my business partner. So I haven't built this amazing business by myself. I've got to give credit to my partner, Mariska Breland, who is the biggest badass. She has MS herself, and she's also a Pilates teacher. And we teamed up because we kind of had courses we were running that were very similar. And we thought, you know what? Instead of being competition, why don't we team up and take over the world?
Yes. And you have.
Yeah. And you know what was great about Mariska is we both have different expertise. She comes from a marketing background. She might be one of the smartest people I've ever met. And she knew I had the anatomy background and movement. So we really, you know, keep out of each other's way, but support each other. And it just kind of goes along kind of my full message of just, you know, women supporting other women. Men as well. Yes. I don't want to leave men out of the conversation, but it's just the tribe I've surrounded myself with are all these awesome women, you being one of them, of just really supporting each other, which unfortunately up until that point, I wasn't experiencing.
Mm-hmm.
One thing, not to flip the script on you, I feel more comfortable talking about others. Something that really impressed me with you, Maestro, when you came is you exceeded my expectations as a human. I knew you were smart. I knew you knew your shit, but I was just blown away. You never know what you're going to get with people. I mean, let's be honest.
It's true.
And
right.
I love how you sat and listened to everybody's story and were promoting the other people. And it really inspired me even further. And I think we need a little more of that in the world.
I appreciate you. And I totally agree. We need so much more of that.
Yeah, right? One of my mentors, Kelly Kane, she, and it's not a quote of hers. I know somebody else said it, but she always said, "Your light shining bright doesn't diminish mine." And yes. I think that's such a powerful message for physical therapists, Pilates teachers, dancers, everybody. You know, listen,
totally.
None of us invented movement.
Yes. Thank you.
So did I rush through my story? I find it a little boring.
I'm going to pick it apart and be like, okay, we're going to highlight this part because there's like so many interesting things here.
Yeah.
So one thing I want to highlight you guys is the fact that she told me this story when I met up with her and I was like, oh my God, I love you. When she got that call of, do you work with people who have MS? And she was just like, yes. And then went and figured it out. There's nothing wrong with that because, again, she's not saying like made stuff up and wasn't safe. This is, I know that I did it as, especially as a new grad, when someone comes in and they have something and they have a diagnosis, whatever, and or they, you know, have a symptom and they'd be like, so this happens and it feels like this. Have you heard of that? And I'll be like, absolutely. Because you want to reassure them. And then like, you don't do anything crazy with them. And then like, you run to the back and you like Google it. And you're like, oh my God, what is this thing? Right? Because we need more of that. It's okay to take a chance there.
And
because we're not going to do anything crazy.
Yeah. And it's funny. I was super cautious with her. Like I think back on our sessions and I get like mad at myself. So I'm like, oh my God, you could have been doing this for her foot drop. Da da da. But I didn't know that. But at the end of the day, what I provided her with was, and we only did 30-minute sessions, was 30 minutes of her moving and just maybe hopefully forgetting she had MS for 30 minutes, which to me, I might not have cured her foot drop, but that can be pretty valuable.
Dude, I freaking love that. Giving someone hope.
Yeah.
That is the most, I think it's the most powerful thing that we can do, right? You give someone hope. So,
it's also
shocking. You guys listening, like
it's also shocking what neurologists and doctors say to people. I mean, people's diagnosing stories, like, could we just bring you to tears? I mean, some of them are just so terrible. And listen, doctors are doing the best they can. So I don't think any doctor goes out and be like, let me really ruin someone's day today. But I just don't think they're sometimes equipped with kind of directions where to send people and give them kind of like, all right, this might happen, but this is what you can do. And I feel like, you know, what I try to offer is hearing my clients. And then I'm a little bit of an annoying optimist with them. I'm like, yes, that is happening. but look at all the things your body is doing well. Because yes. I mean, my client today,
yes.
the things she was saying wrong with her, I'm like, girl, how are you even walking? Like kidding around. But she, and I was like, let's talk about what's working. And she actually had a really great session when I refocused her on what was working well. And to be honest with her in the past, I don't know if I necessarily did a good job of that. I think I was reinforcing what she was saying. And today, for some reason, I just was like, this is not working. But, you know, it's only took me 20 sessions to figure that one out.
I want to tease that out a bit.
Yeah.
One, what are your clients like? Let's talk more about the demographic you work with. And then also, what are your sessions like?
That's a good question. It's a little varied, but for about 15 to 18 years, I really specialized in MS specifically. Now that's opened the door to brain injury, stroke, Parkinson's. I sometimes see clients that have, today I saw someone who had doesn't have a diagnosis. It's basically, they give you a diagnosis like non-otherwise specified, basically idiopathic neuro stuff. We don't know what's wrong with you. And let me tell you, this woman has severe foot drop. So there's something neurologically wrong. They've checked all the orthopedics. So I see a lot of these clients where the medical system has kind of failed for them, and not blaming the medical system, but
yeah.
Neuro conditions are on the rise. I mean, we're surrounded by shit all day, whether we're breathing it, talking into a computer right now. So I'm not like one of these people that you have to live a totally holistic life, but you know, you got to do the best you can. Yeah. So my clients have a lot of stuff. Okay. A lot of symptoms, often a lot of pain, often a lot of limitations. So, you know, each session is a little different, but in all my sessions, I'm really trying to get them to move in a safe way, working on, I think this is why you and I got along, fundamentals.
Yes.
It kills me.
Let them know.
Yeah. I mean, praise the Lord there. Yeah. But it's crazy because people do, I see it in Parkinson's a lot too. There's all this research saying exercise has to be intense, use gamification. So these Parkinson's, these people with Parkinson's are treated like Parkinson's clients, and they're not treated like humans. They're still humans with the same movement fundamentals that you and I need. They need what I call hip cuff activation. They need shoulder girdle stability, but instead they're just playing games with them to try to, you know, feed the dopamine. I'm all for that. But I still think we need to treat neuro clients like they're humans that also have a neuro condition.
Damn. I was hoping you would say that because you had said it when we met, and there it was. I didn't have to even pull it out. Like, that is, to me, was really eye-opening because I've said it before. Yes, we're all neuro people, yeah. And we're all treating, you know, people, you know, they have nervous systems, but treating someone with a compromised nervous system is very different than treating your general orthopedic population. But you do a great job, and when you taught the segment at my course, of opening our eyes, or even just like making us remember that this is still a human with the same needs.
And I feel like that gets lost a little bit. I get really angry about some stroke rehab. Again, I'm not against research. I think it's super important. But sometimes we live and die by the research. And, you know, for even example, unilateral versus bilateral. We do a lot of unilateral work here and see better results. So I'm not against one thing or the other. I like to, all my students, I want them to think outside the box a bit and try shit. It's only a mistake if you keep doing it. You know, all my stuff has come, my hip cuff activation, what I taught in your little workshop, that happened because I made a mistake. And I was like cueing something else. And then my client interpreted it differently and was like, oh shit, this feels totally different. I'm like, yeah, I meant to do that. I did. And you know, the difference between my work and some other people's, it's pretty basic, I think, but it's the execution that's hard. I mean, in that room, do you remember when we did that hip cuff activation drill?
Yeah.
What did I have to do? And all these people were beautiful movers, but I had to come over and adjust everybody. And what happened to their face? They were like, oh, shit. You
know? Yep.
Am I allowed to say shit?
You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Shit.
Whatever you want. Your accent, I love it.
I sometimes get in trouble for my foul mouth, but I'm from New Jersey.
Keep it real.
I'm from New Jersey.
Exactly. Dirty Jurors.
That's right.
Keeping it real.
That's right.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. Keep going though, Meg. Yeah. I want to talk about, so you got into like what your kind of your clients look like. What does a session look like? What do you do with these people?
I have this kind of like mantra that I teach, and I'm kind of, I think most teachers are very intuitive, you know, and you probably mm-hmm. are when you're seeing patients, and it's sometimes hard to take that intuition and like teach somebody else. And yes. my mentor, Kelly Kane, is super intuitive. And I never thought it was possible to like teach somebody how I think. And she was able to do that with her teacher training. And again, it's not Kelly, but it is Kelly.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And she left room for people to kind of get in there with their stuff. So that really kind of helped me go that way. And she kind of helped me develop my mantra of create, challenge, and apply. So very briefly, we're creating a new neuromuscular pathway or something interesting to the brain, a fundamental movement for gait. Everything for me is mm-hmm. gait focused. Then we're challenging that in different body positions, prone, supine, upside down, backwards. I don't give a shit. As long as you're challenging what you just created. And then let me tell you, that shit does not matter. Now I keep saying shit. We should make it a drinking game. But then it doesn't matter to me unless we've taken what we just learned and we can then incorporate it into, I hate the buzzwords, like functional, but more mm-hmm. of a gait pattern movement. So basically stand.
Yeah.
So I'll see a yeah. lot of my students, I'll say, you're challenging before you created. And I'll say, you're applying. Mm-hmm. We haven't challenged yet. And it just takes some time to find the flow. And that doesn't have to be, is that me singing?
Yeah, that was me. That was... Jesus.
Maybe, you know, when there's award shows and they play music.
Yeah, it's time to be done. And the podcast is.
Oh my God. And I'm like, I take after my dad. We're a long line of people who beat dead horses. So.
No, this is keep beating because it's not dead yet.
Okay.
This is,
still alive.
Go,
still
go,
alive.
Go.
I really kind of get them. We need to feel a difference. And, you know, listen, it's not that I'm asking, or do you feel the difference? Do you feel the difference?
Mm-hmm.
But we want to get a change, a neurological response in the clients, and then challenge it and apply. And I think sometimes in PT and the Pilates world, we start at the challenge, okay? So we're challenging yes. this idea of a movement pattern. But what I've realized is nobody moves well. Nobody's falling down and dying. You know, we're all right. We're okay. But it's amazing the changes. And I even see, I also work with some athletes, and it's really, it's always funny. They always get super pissed in the beginning because they're like, well, look what I'm very strong. I'm like, mm-hmm. no, you're strong. You're strong at only half this muscular capacity. What if we could change your initiation point and the movement of the full range of motion? Imagine what you're capable of. And then they start to get hot about it. They get excited, but they get frustrated because they think, what have I been doing this wrong my whole life? And I remind them that nobody moves correctly. Like what you said in workshop, that line was epic when you said, if you are alive, you're breathing correctly.
Yeah.
If you're alive, you're moving correctly. Now, can we optimize your movement patterns? Yes.
Yeah. There we go.
But like, dude, it's a fine line. I feel like, I don't know if this is happening in PT, but I see it in Pilates. There's this school of either just move, just let people move. And then mm-hmm. there's this, we have to correct. And I feel like, mm-hmm. sorry, there's a train.
Nah, you good.
There's,
that's real.
Like you always talk about that pendulum back and forth. I feel like we need to find the middle ground. Like, yes, just move people, but maybe correcting them would be helpful as well.
Yes.
I don't.
I love how you say stuff. Yes. It's like so simplistic and yet it's not common. We know.
Well,
simple, not common. Not the same thing.
I think it all comes from everybody's trying to reinvent the wheel. And none of us invented movement. I didn't invent movement. Exactly. This is just kind of how I see it. And I'm not a my way or the highway. I'll change my mind, but just prove it to me.
Yeah. I like it. No. I'll change my mind, but just prove it
and
to me.
And it's more. You know, and again, I feel like I'm coming down on research. It's not that, but I've seen a lot of research, but I'll say to doctors and stuff like that, they'll say, we need to see research on your method. I go, how many videos can your phone send? I'll send you all my clients. And because to me, I get it for research-based, but, you know, in a lot of research, they don't use women because of menstrual cycles. And mm-hmm. where are they all at the same disability level? And what were they eating? So it's hard in neuro. So for me, I don't care if I'm research-backed. If my clients are getting better, that's all I really care about, you know?
Meg, how does Pilates fit into this? And I'm like, what is Pilates to you? Because I know for me and our listeners, we're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Lay it
on us. I
always
laugh. My dad, he used to call it Pilates. And I'm like, that's not it. Is it like yoga? Usually I'll just be like, yeah. No, it's nothing. I mean, it's yoga, like it's like weight training. It's a movement pattern. Now, this is my definition of Pilates. I'm going to get super technical for 30 seconds. I define it to my students as selective stabilization of certain joints while mobilizing others with an emphasis on the spine. So really, Pilates is spinal exercise. Fight me on this one. I'll fight you. I played rugby in college, so be careful. But I wasn't very good. All right. Back to my thought was, I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Oh, Pilates. It's spinal exercise. So I think we're the only real method of exercise that doesn't just talk about the spine. We actually move and strengthen the spine. So, we're mobilizing. A lot of the things is a distraction. So I'm looking, if I'm mobilizing the spine, the limbs, the quadrants have to be stable. But if I'm looking to move the limbs, I've got to make sure my spine is stabilizing, not locked. In the fitness arena, I think people see locked spines and think they're stable. They're just, they're not reacting. So I define stabilizing as more reacting. Some, you know, rotatory, like multifidi, some deep shit.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. At the course, you had actually said something about, and I'm working on it for a DM, obviously, credited to you.
What's a DM?
But the DM that I'm working on, I'm trying to remember the exact quote that you had said. I think a contracted muscle cannot respond.
I think, were we talking about orgasms? Is that what we're talking about?
No, but you can totally go down that route. I'm going through my phone right now.
Because I talk a lot about pelvic floor and stuff like that. Oh, I think we were talking about
Upper traps, I think, probably, because Tori was like, and you were just talking about like resting tone and that basically like contracted muscle can't respond.
Yeah, it's hard. I say a lot of things, Maestro.
yes.
So I think I was saying a lot of times when people are gripping, or I hear the term lock down your lats or pack your lats, you know, wouldn't it be a better idea if we strengthened our lats so that our lats actually activate when we're doing a kettlebell swing? So instead of packing our lats, and to me, I always like to understand, why are people saying that? And I think, correct me if I'm wrong, that you're packing your lats to kind of plug into the thoracolumbar or fascia to trick your brain into thinking the spine is stable enough so that you can use your hips.
I think so.
So my thought is, why don't we just strengthen our spine and our lats so it actually stabilizes? And I think the quote was, if a muscle is half contracted, it can't respond. Yeah. So like bracing the abs and stuff like that. And let me tell you, I had some bad Pilates back in the day, and I had a bad lower back, and I was told to pull my abs in. And I mean, I could pull my abs in so much, you know, my pelvic floor was up into my throat, and that caused some pelvic floor dysfunction, constipation, all different loads of things. But the problem was they were teaching me, putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. Yeah, if I activate my TVA, it's going to stabilize my spine. But it had to be at the right time. What happened when my TVA fatigued? Then what? Okay, then my back would kill me. So instead, I stopped listening to people and doing intuitively what I felt was to strengthen my spine.
You guys listening, this should all be like, you should be like, heck yeah, hell yeah, like resonating with you hard. But I want to keep on that train of thought in terms of, I love that definition of Pilates, by the way. But if someone was to go into your facility, to the neuro studio, are you using Pilates equipment? Is there a strong Pilates feel to what you do? How would you classify what you do?
So when I look at Pilates exercise, so Pilates, Joe Pilates was a dude that he created a set number of exercises. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, he didn't, and, you know, some Pilates people might like want to punch me in the face, but he didn't have the anatomy and education that I have and you have and some other people. Mm-hmm. But I think he did an exceptional job with living in an internment camp during World War II. Did I lose you? Sorry, my computer.
No, I'm here. You're good.
So I think what he did was amazing. And there's a lot of flexion in his methodology. Now, maybe he thought all the muscles of the spine were on the front of the body. I don't know that because he doesn't answer my phone calls because he's no longer alive. But that being said, his Pilates exercises are really great. So I use them in my kind of challenge portion of things. And depending on the client. So at my studio in person, okay, my studio is in Manasquan, New Jersey, and then I've got a space in New York. And then my business partner, Mariska, has a studio called Fuse Pilates in DC. So at our studio, we're doing Pilates, okay? But a lot of our clients aren't able to do the full exercises. So there's a lot of pre-Pilates. And I like to do weight training. I have a CSCS as well. That was my first year. So we've got that ladder that Mariska invented.
Yes, ladder. It's awesome.
Freaking amazing. And so that's what you'll get in the studio. Our neuro studio online, we have all online programming. It's very limited equipment. And the reason why we started the neuro studio was it really would bother me that, that it only seemed like our stuff was for the wealthy because to pay for Pilates 2 or 3 times a week and I have students that charge more than me, but it's expensive. You know, I won't lie. Yeah. So it just would upset me that I just wanted movement to be accessible to everybody. So the neuro studio, it's basically you're getting what I give in a session. I'm talking during the workouts like I would talk to my clients. It's more about educating, not just taking you through a workout. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's limited equipment because we want it to be super affordable that you could just friggin' grab a mat and do your thing.
Got it.
So those are kind of the two options.
Talk more a little about the, and maybe I'm confused. There's an online component to this?
Yes. So the Neuro Studio is our online component. So
I thought that was a place that I went and saw you. I thought that was the Neuro Studio.
That's our in-person studios. It used to be called the Coppell Method.
But, yes.
I'm not like certain people. I don't need to put my name on everything. No, I shouldn't make fun of the president. But anyway.
The best.
So the Neuro Studio, we started it online. And then so we have like a location in DC and then Jersey. But the online component, I mean, I've never been more proud or like it's good shit. Like I'm really happy with how it's come out. But here's the downside. I've been told sometimes the workouts aren't hard enough. And my response is, well, you're not doing it correctly. And it's more about educating people how to move correctly because they can go to the gym. They can move any way they want for free. So I want this to be, it's like $25 a month for unlimited content. And we're always uploading new stuff, but it's really fundamental stuff. And, you know, listen, you don't have my hands on you. You don't have Mariska's hands on you, but I think it's a very close second. And right now our market is mostly PTs, OTs, physical therapists that are using it to get info for their patients. But our real goal is to have affordable workouts for people with neuro conditions.
That was going to be my next question. Yeah. I was like, who signs up for this? And who signs up and how can they sign up? Because I'm going to obviously put that in the show notes.
Yeah, so if you just go to the neurostudio.com, you'll see all our workshops because we do a lot of workshops in person. And then it'll say our online studio and you can just kind of click that link. We also have some online workshops, which are pretty badass. I don't know about you. I still kind of love the in-person.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But, you know, I feel like, you know, I don't know about the PT world and personal training, but Pilates teachers do so much continuing ed and it's so expensive. And then you got to travel. But I feel like it's a good way to keep the cost down and get people excited about stuff.
The future is digital, man. No, absolutely. And you're leading the charge there.
I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just sometimes like, again, with my work, I feel like for example, like I could say hip cuff 30 times, but you had my hands on you. Did you feel the difference?
Yeah, is it absolutely?
Yeah, and
absolutely.
It's hard if you don't really feel the difference. And it's more about just kind of using different joint positions and arthrokinetic reflex, like something super basic and nobody talks about. And I'm like, for real? Like, this is basic. Why aren't we talking about that?
Because people think that if it's basic, it must not work. I need a more high-tech, complex reasoning and rationale and explanation.
Yeah.
Because I spend a lot of money on school.
I know. Your brain and my brain work the same. Like, I feel like we need to understand the whys.
That's it.
Did I ever tell you the Will Tiffany story?
No.
Oh, my God.
Tell us all.
The Will Tiffany story. So I can't remember where I was or which PT it was. But a PT
said
to me, well, I actually do remember, but I'm not going to say. I'm a terrible liar.
I love it.
So they said, well, Megan, when you have a back injury, your Will Tiffany turn off. And I go, for real? Why? Oh, because when you have a back injury, your Will Tiffany turn off. And I was like, yeah, no, I'm not deaf. I heard you.
But why?
But why? And then for the third time, they used their hands this time. And said, well, when you have a back injury, the Will Tiffany turn off. And then I realized she had no idea.
They don't know. Yeah,
and listen, I'm not trying to say I know everything, but let me tell you, I'm pretty sure their Will Tiffany wasn't active, which is what led to the back injury. It's not like your Will Tiffany just like decided to take a freaking vacation. You know, most people, which is why Pilates is badass, most people can't move intersegmentally. They'll like move at like C7 and L2.
Chunking.
And call it a day.
Absolutely.
And you can touch your toes with C7 and L2 flexion. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do it on most days. But so I just had this realization that if I want to find out answers, I'm going to have to figure it out in my own body. And you know how I turned my Will Tiffany on, making sure my hip cuff was active and then rotating and extending my lumbar spine, which is the Will Tiffany's job. Now, was that easy? No, but I screwed it up like 20 times on my body until I found it, and I didn't hurt myself. It just didn't happen.
Yeah.
You know?
I love it. Figure out the why.
I know. And I guess just how my brain works. Like, it's not that I have a low bullshit meter. I'm not trying to be difficult. If I don't understand why, I get really like, it makes my anxiety worse.
You anxiety? No way.
I know. I vibrate very high.
They're like, no way. Meg, I want to talk a little bit, or have you talk a little bit about the journey into like having your own business. And you guys listening, you know, I'm all about that Roger Bannister effect. Once you see someone do something, you're that much more likely to think, hey, maybe I can do that too. And Meg started a business and then sold the business and then started another one and now has digital stuff and speaks internationally and is doing the damn thing. So can you talk about that?
I think I feel like I have to give credit quite a bit to my parents, where, you know, my dad kind of getting my master's, and you know, I think he saw me going to med school or law school, and I really enjoyed health education in school. That was my favorite subject. And my dad kind of made a comment that I was too bright to do that. And I said, well, first of all, wouldn't you want bright people educating your children? And he was like, good point. And it was just his judgment on his experience with gym and health. He didn't have a good experience. But that being said, when I went to college, he always said, I mean, this man he's hysterical, but he was passionate about accounting, which I don't really get because I think that's weird. But he really loves what he does. And he just would always say to me, just figure out what you love to do and then figure out a way to make a living at it. And there were times where it was tough, I'll be honest. I opened up my first Pilates studio when I was 24. And
God bless.
I worked a lot and I really burnt myself out. I was doing everything myself. And I didn't know how to ask for help. And I really, listen, all my friends had regular jobs, you know, 9 to 5.
Yep.
And this is my friend Megan. She owns a Pilates studio. It became my identity. And I kind of was very unhappy running the Pilates studio in Hoboken. It was a lot of group classes. And I was afraid to sell it because I felt like I was nothing without it. And luckily, it was at a similar time where I met my now husband. And despite me being crazy, that man loved me. But, you know, he kind of made me see things from different eyes. He was a Division I football player that his career was taken with him from an injury. And just seeing his perspective really changed me. Mm-hmm. And I realized, mm-hmm. okay, here's this guy who thought he was going to play in the NFL. Now what? He had to come up with another career. So I was less fearful of selling my business and starting over. And I sold my business. I actually applied for my DPT, got to the final round at NYU, and didn't get in. And it was
for the best.
It was a blessing in disguise for me because I did not want to be a PT. I just did not know what the fuck I wanted to do.
Yeah.
So after that, I kind of had to sit back and I said, you know what? I really love working with MS and I'm good at it. And I said, let's figure it out. Let me reach out to friends who are neuro PTs. I'm going to connect with doctors. Again, like if they won't let you in the front door, I snuck in the back door. I'm very short. I'm, you know, agile there. And I just kind of, I made my business seem bigger than it was in the beginning. And I would say to clients, I'm so sorry, I'm fully booked that week, but I'll let you know if something opens up. And not that I was lying, but I was fully booked doing a different job because I was still working at a gym. And I just kind of, I was lucky. There wasn't social media when I first started. So I always say this to new people. I know social media is so important, but don't forget the work. I put my head down and honed my skills. Nobody knew who I was, even in the Pilates community. My business partner is very well known in the Pilates community because she's freaking awesome and an amazing Pilates teacher, but nobody knew who the hell I was. And Mariska pushed me. She's like, nobody wants to take the class when you teach it. They don't care you have a master's Columbia. Nobody knows who you are. So then I had to figure out social media and start posting so they got to know me. And I was very intimidated because I have no filter. I was going to say a small filter, but I don't
have. I love it. No, take it back.
I don't have one. And I just tried to be as real to myself as I could. But I was fearful. I didn't want to come across as a know-it-all. I was very concerned about how I still come off on social media. It's kind of a weird situation. But that really helped take things off. And then Mariska and I, we work our butts off. I mean, everybody works hard, but there's some months where I don't have a day off. Now, I love what I do. And is that always healthy? No, but I'm building a business and a brand. So we've kind of sometimes hired younger people or I bring in mentees and they want to be where I am, but they don't want to work. So that doesn't work for me. I feel like if you put your head down and hone your skill and build your social media presence, like it ain't easy.
No.
It's like you said, you posted that today. Find your passion.
Yes.
I wake up every day. I feel like I'm going to get like emotional, which is very unlike me. I really love what I do. And my clients are
fucking
brilliant. Like they just overcome so much just getting to the studio. So when I'm having a shitty day,
No, it's okay. Yeah. It's real.
You know, like Gary, who had the brain.
Yes, Gary.
Oh my God, I'm having a bad day. And he came in and he was having a little bad day. And I said, Gary, it is your job to make me feel better. Come on. And it kind of made him laugh. But, you know, it's these kids who have brain injuries, have everything taken from them. Or like MS, get a diagnosis when you're 20 fucking 5 or 30. Mm-hmm. That wasn't in your plan. And these people show up every day. And it helps me show up because I didn't always show up. I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I would get burnt out and I wouldn't always show up. So they've helped me.
Man. You guys listening to this, that was huge. And I'm so glad that she said it. And this is one of the reasons I want to bring Megan on because she does have that passion and that realness. But you got to put in the work and do the thing and get really freaking good at it. She's been doing this 19 years, Megan?
Yeah.
Like this did not happen overnight and it wasn't a fluke. It was hard fucking work over and over and over again. And put your head down and do the thing. Like
I do have to say, I was very against social media. It just wasn't a place where I'm comfortable. And let me tell you, that really changed things. Big time.
But only because you had the other stuff in place.
100%. I don't want to poo-poo social media. I unfortunately think nowadays you have to do it all.
Yeah.
Something I wanted to add in, I didn't say, was the mistake I made with my first business was I was doing it myself. And Mariska, we have a third business partner, Rox, who does the back end. And she'll often be like, I feel like I'm not contributing. I'm like, girl, you contribute more than you know. She kind of keeps Mariska and I sane. She's awesome human. And it's like, we each have our things and we, you know, we can each communicate to each other and we're very honest. And it's just, I'm fucking so proud of these three women running a business. And
yes.
Yeah. And I have to be honest, we've been business partners. What year are we in?
2019.
We started around 2013. I have to be perfectly honest, knock on wood, we haven't had one disagreement.
That's amazing.
And I mean, listen, we don't agree on everything, but we always come to the table and communicate. And I feel like that communication, you know, Mariska had some health issues. Girl broke her leg at a dog park. A dog ran into her. And the first thing I said is, please don't be your MS affected leg. It was. But let me tell you, this girl recovered like nothing happened because she works hard. People sometimes assume she doesn't have a serious case of MS, which is bullshit. She will sometimes do movement and use her Galileo 2 hours a day. Like, she puts in the work for her disease, which is what keeps her mobile. So I always like to let people know that, like, when they see her moving on social media, they just assume like, oh, it's easy. I mean, and the one thing is she doesn't like being the poster child for things, like, you know, but she is freaking awesome. And she had liver surgery where they had to remove half her liver. And then she had her leg broken. Jeez. And so there was times where I had to pick up on a Thursday and leave for Friday to teach a course that she was supposed to, because she broke her leg. But we pick up for each other. So if you can find
a team, man,
that you trust and that has different strengths than you, don't be afraid about it. You know, go there and respect each other's expertise. Like, don't step on each other's toes. Like you say, do the thing and do your thing.
Exactly. I mean, that sounds like you found the perfect, you know, way for these puzzle pieces to fit together.
Because I couldn't do it. Go ahead. I don't know how you do it alone all the time.
I don't. And that's the thing. It's like, I shout out my girl Lex all the time. Yeah. Like, I love that you brought that up. Like, I'm the face of this, but I got help with, you know, scheduling things. And that's who, you know, you were in touch with Lex to schedule the course and get things done, because she hit the nail on the head, guys. Like, at some point, you cannot keep doing it alone. If not, if you want to grow. Yeah. In the beginning, you may have to.
Yeah.
But if you want to go far, you have to go together. You have to find other people to help you out. And it's amazing if you find someone that really complements what, you know, you're trying to do or what your skill set is. But you definitely cannot do it alone. Don't let anyone out there have you think otherwise.
You can, but you'll go mental. I almost did. I'll tell you that much.
And then you're going to stop. Exactly. Yeah. You're going to give it so far. And then you're like, and now I'm dead.
Yeah. And it's exhausting. And you know what? I call Mariska my work wife, because like my husband, he brings out the best in me. She brings out the best in me. I see. It's all smoke and mirrors. I just surround myself with cool people.
Megan, I love it. If folks, because I really want to direct them to your stuff and you as a resource.
Yeah.
If folks want to find your stuff, if they want, just what is all the information you can give me? Give me everything.
So I feel like your best bet is going directly to theneurostudio.com. And that's like our main site. You can register for a course. You can go to the online studio. You can read about Mariska and I. Our live courses are, I'll brag, they're pretty awesome. We like them light.
Love it.
You know, you said this quote in the course. It's my favorite quote, how I open up the course. If you can't explain something simply, that means you don't truly understand it. Yeah. And I find sometimes with neuro, people like talk in big words. I was just reading something on Instagram and I'm like, okay, what is this person actually saying? So I feel like we're the translators, because it's not actually that. Now the brain is complicated. I'm not trying to minimize the brain.
Yeah.
But I find sometimes people get all this information, they don't know how to use it. And now, listen, we have an advanced course that I teach, and it's 2-day. It should probably be 10 days. But we really open that up to PTs and OTs and Pilates teachers. And it's all about kind of my methodology, how I organize a course, what I'm looking for, what are the tangibles we need to hit, what are we actually doing. And it's kind of actually basic work, but it's super advanced in technique. But I do recommend, a lot of PTs skip the 3-day. And they actually go back to it. because they realized you can learn all this stuff in college the way that Mariska and I teach it. And Mariska is freaking amazing at taking the big neuro concepts and kind of, I hate the word dumbing it down, but making it digestible. And I'm good at taking the biomechanics, fat, all the movement stuff and making it digestible. So I always, you know, don't shy away from the course. I think, I know you'll really enjoy it.
Plug that shit.
It's my favorite course to teach. And we also have online courses I mentioned, and I just filmed one. It's called Anatomy Connections. And it's kind of my take on, I was so sick of going to anatomy course. And they're like, this is the bicep. This is the origin. This is the insertion. And then people are like, yeah, what the hell does that mean? So we talk about like how the bicep can inhibit hip movement and that. So I talk about connections from things. And we have some sexy body models that are like, you know, you can see all the muscles on them. So we kind of, I show, okay, look at this cue. How it, you want to see someone's serratus anterior? Look, boom, cue that. And it just, I don't have to tell him to engage his serratus. I'm just going to put his humeral head here. So we have live models. And listen, it's, you're not going to get the feel of it, but I think it's pretty cool. And it really describes the hip cuff activation, which I kind of lectured quickly. And my four quadrant stability model, which I think I love the emails I get back that people are going, holy crap, this is changing everything. And I said, I know. I wish I would have known this 15 years ago. You know, it's made my job so much easier.
Game changer.
So much easier. And I feel like I've said hip cuff a few times, so maybe some of you are excited to learn about it.
The teaser.
You see that?
I love it. I told you guys, she has a background in business.
No.
She won't admit it, but there's a background in business.
Yeah, but business is not my strength. I would do this for free. My dad's always like, can you raise your prices? I'm like, no.
So finance is not your strength. No, you're real good at business.
No, finance is not my strength. Don't ask me where to put your money. I'll say in my pocket.
Real quick, guys, speaking of money, if those courses sound interesting, you want to take them and you want to save some money, Meg has graciously offered you a 10% discount. All you got to do is use the code MAESTRO10. One more time, that's MAESTRO10, MAESTRO10, when you go to check out, and you will save 10%. All right, back to the show. This is so good.
Yeah.
I got two more questions for you, then I'm going to let you go. One, besides yours, or actually in addition to yours, because yours should be first, what recommendations for resources could you give people that are maybe looking to go into the Pilates space, the Pilates world, or the neuro world?
Cool.
Or both?
So Pilates, there's a lot of Pilates certifications. Some are good, some are terrible. You get what you pay for. And it really depends on the teacher teaching, the teacher training, let's be honest. I, for many years, taught the Kane School, which is based out of New York City. Kelly Kane is, again, an amazing human. And Matt McCulloch, he owns the studio. Now Kelly has sold it to him. But they do a great job of making sure you know anatomy. There's a touch component. There's a biomechanics. There's special populations. It is a little, for someone with no movement or anatomy background, it can be heavy for people. But if there are any physical therapists that want to get Pilates certified, I'm telling you, Kane School is the way to go. There's a Pilates certification that is geared towards PTs. I'm not going to say any names. Kane School blows it out of the water.
I love it.
Because there's more of the whys. I think PTs would be into it. We get a lot of PTs, of course.
And then
for neuro stuff, some people I like what they're doing. I like, his name is Trent McIntyre. He's a Pilates teacher as well. He's a great guy. He has CP, but interesting story. Trent, I hope it's okay I share this, but I believe you say it in your bio. He didn't know he had CP. He was a dancer and was having all this tightness and a lot of musculoskeletal pain. And his mother said, oh, maybe it's because of your CP. And again, I'm paraphrasing. I might be getting the story.
Yeah.
But it opened his eyes to understand, wait a minute, there's more to this. And he came up with this brain speed ball. So he does some cool visual stuff. but he still is true to movement. And he's a smart guy, understands the whys, no bullshit. So I respect him as a teacher. I like our fundamentals and then using Trent's tools and stuff like that. I don't know enough about them, but the instructors, they invited me to a lecture once and I was impressed by them. The Z Health.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I was very impressed and I said that to them. I usually go to these workshops and think they're terrible. I was impressed by the instructor. I've been impressed by some of the practitioners I've come in contact with. I just worry, like, you know, I've come into contact with some great NKT people. But I fear that sometimes when we lose fundamentals and don't understand the whys, we sometimes get God complexes. It's not a Z Health problem. It's not an NKT problem. It's a human problem. Everybody thinks they're curing cancer with movement. Somebody else has done it. But I think Z Health, I thought they do a really good job of actually explaining the whys, going deeper into neuro for a healthy population. I was very impressed by their stuff. I have to be very honest. Yeah.
You guys listening, I will probably do my best to get Eric Cobb on the podcast at some point. Rock Tape has partnered with Z Health.
Oh, cool.
So I'll do my best to bring him on. Yeah, it was really recent with like our merger acquisition and all that other stuff.
I find I get a lot of sometimes feedback. And you know what? I get that from our advanced course too, that we learned all this stuff. How do we implement it? And I say, listen, guys, these are advanced concepts. It's called advanced course for a reason. Sometimes people leave a course. Now, I want you to leave the course and have something to do on Monday. I love how that was how you ended your course.
That's it.
And I actually changed something in my course based off that because I don't think I did a great job at that because there's so much information to get through. So thank you for doing that. That helped me. But what I find is these are advanced courses. That doesn't mean you're not smart enough. That means you just have to let it marinate like a fine piece of meat. Nobody just throws a piece of meat on the grill. Marinate that shit. Okay? So I feel like with those courses, don't get discouraged if you took a Z Health course and you felt like an idiot. Most people feel like an idiot because it's advanced stuff. Don't be discouraged. Stick with it. Stick with it and work with someone that'll answer your questions. And if they can't answer your questions, like on that PT that I met, go ask somebody else or email me. I'll answer your questions.
How can they do that?
They can email me at megcopel@gmail.com.
Spell that last name.
K-O-P-P, two P's, E-L-E. Two P's, one L.
megcopel@gmail.com.
Yeah, and you guys can find me, I think, on where Facebook, our group is. Oh, geez. Let me get the name right. Facebook.
Yeah, go ahead.
So hold on. It's the Neuro Studio / Pilates for Neurological Conditions. It's a mouthful. That's our page on Facebook. And then on Instagram, we're just at the Neuro Studio.
Easy.
Yeah. And if you're trying to find me, my name is spelled, my first name is M-E-G-H-A-N-N, an H and two N's. If you met my parents, you'd understand why. They're a little aggressive. But so if you're trying to find me and I'm not coming up, it's because you're probably spelling my name wrong.
I love it. Give me your Instagram handle one more time, Megan.
Cool. It's
yours.
The Neuro Studio and then at Meg Copel Duffy.
That's your... Is it really? I don't think I even noticed that. Because you hit me up on both of them. I get so confused.
Well, I know because I always forget to switch. And then I'll like comment on someone's baby picture from the Neuro Studio.
And I'm like, hey. So we got the Neuro Studio. That's an easy one. And if they're looking you personally, it's at Meg Copel Duffy. It's your actual name. Lots of dog pictures on
it's
there.
It's really just Charlie Bear. I mean, but he is a handsome, handsome fella.
Love it.
Did you get to see Charlie Bear when you were here?
I didn't.
You didn't get but I got to see the studio. Gary. So next time you come to Jersey, Gary was upset he didn't get to meet you, and Charlie Bear was upset as well. So next time.
Dude, you guys listening, if you check out the Neuro Studio on Instagram, you will meet Gary also. You'll see him in the videos. She puts a ton of educational stuff out there, and that's actually how we linked up. Either she tagged me or something. She came on my radar, got put on my radar, and I was like, dude, this stuff is amazing. The videos, the quality, the education you're delivering for a demographic that I'm super unfamiliar with. I was like, this is my go-to resource for anyone that's asking me about this population or you know, working with these people in this capacity. And I was like, done. So
that's awesome.
Definitely check that
out,
guys.
I remember what it was. And if you won't mind, if I could plug that, we kind of, Gary unfortunately had a brain injury and he shattered his whole skull. And they actually 3D printed a new skull for him. But unfortunately, about 8 months ago, it got infected and they had to remove it again. So he's been back in his helmet. So we've been a little bit limited on what we've been what we can do. But he's having his surgery in 2 or 3 weeks to put the new skull back on. So we're really excited about that. But before Amazing. That, we were doing, it was called hashtag modify for Gary, because something that annoys me on Facebook is that everybody's always talking about fitness for everybody, and they mean like body types. And I'm really sick about the body type conversation. And what about people with disabilities? So I was trying to get people to modify exercises for neuro clients. Like, why can't they go to CrossFit and do cool shit? So I kind of like, if anybody's listening, and I would love to start that up again, because he gets really excited about it. Because, you know, it's to be 24 and to kind of have your life a little taken from you. And he's
absolutely
awesome. Just, it kind of makes him feel part of something again, which is awesome. So the hashtag modify for Gary, maybe we can bring that back and come up with cool shit. So this way, you know, it helps me out too.
I like that. Hashtag modify for Gary.
Yeah.
Done. If Miss Megan, you had to leave the people with one thing. You haven't left it already. I mean, you've dropped a ton. But is there anything that you would like to leave the people with?
Yeah. Don't be afraid to try something new. Mistakes are all learning experiences. And at the end of the day, even if you've never worked with a neuro client and you're terrified, they probably are too. Just move them in a safe range of motion, and maybe for an hour or 30 minutes, you just make them feel like they don't have a neuro condition. Like they can be part of something at a gym and feel their body, which is so empowering. So don't be afraid. I know you say do the thing. Don't be afraid to do another thing.
I love it. I love it. Don't be afraid to do another thing. Mic drop from Megan. So good. Like, don't be afraid to do another thing. I love it.
I feel like I'm like, was I like yelling? I feel like I was yelling into the
No. This is great. This is like, this is why I do podcasts. You guys listening, this is why I do it, because it allows you to hear the person. It's one thing to read what they're saying, but when you can hear someone, you can feel it. You can feel when they're moving their arms. You can feel when they're standing up. You can feel when they're putting their mouth like on the microphone.
There's a lot of arm flailing.
Yeah, you can feel it, and it moves you. Right? When I can feel it, I'm like, yes, I'm going to listen to this, and it moves me as the listener that much more and engages me that much more. So
I feel like
that is why I wanted to bring you on, too.
Hashtag Maestro Dr. Phil. You even got me to cry today. What the fuck?
I don't know, right? Look at that. Look at that. Bringing the emotions out.
Don't tell anybody I cried. Everybody listening, keep that between us.
I love it. Megan, thank you so much for taking the time out of your day. You came home, you had work today, you came home and did this. Actually went back to your studio to do this so that you didn't have dogs barking and stuff. And I really appreciate it. This is an awesome episode. It's so much to be taken away from it, whether you guys are listening as business owners, as people in the Pilates world, as people who work with people who have neurological conditions. You know, so much to be taken away from this. So exciting. Like, thank you, Megan.
No,
truly.
Thank you for giving people a platform to share their work. It's awesome what you do. And just if you're ever questioning that, people wouldn't, your demographic, maybe PTs and CrossFit wouldn't know me if it wasn't for you. So I'll never forget your kindness. And I really appreciate you lifting others up.
We're all in this together.
We are.
All right. A rising tide raises all them ships.
That's right.
So let's do the thing.
Thank you.
You guys listening, thank you. I know you could have been doing anything and you chose to listen to us. And for that, I am endlessly, endlessly grateful. I am not going to ask you for likes. I'm not going to ask you for shares. If you want to do that, that's fine, but not going to ask you for that. If you enjoyed this episode, what I want you to do is two things. One, head on over to Instagram and check out the Neuro Studio. And number two, while you're on there, let's use that hashtag #ModifyForGary and start getting that going, because it is extremely powerful what you can do with social media. So let's join the movement. All right, guys, officially wrapping it up. Until next time, friends, Megan and Maestro, out.